Welcome to another Macquarie Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
And hello, all you onliners. Great to have you with us in the room. Special mention to Virginia, who's so faithful and always with us. A couple of things. A few weeks ago, Mark, myself, Brooke, and Mindy all went down to Melbourne to a fivefold conference, a church that's doing the fivefold model. They're about 4 years ahead of us, and I was very encouraged. Beautiful atmosphere of unity, humility, and honour. I walked into that place and the worship started, and I just started to cry. The Holy Spirit's moving through them, moving in the community. So it was great. I was really encouraged. We learnt a lot. And they said an interesting thing. They said, we're still practicing. So you up for a practice the next few years? Yeah, you are. Let me tell you, we practice our whole lives. We practice living. We practice our marriage. We practice everything. All right. And second last thing, I want to encourage you all and thank you for looking after Paul Zee. He said something very interesting to us this week. He said, this church, out of any church I am in, brings out the best in me because of the culture of honour. And I was thinking of the scripture where Jesus said he couldn't do any miracles because the prophet is without honour in his own town. Honour opens the way for the Holy Spirit and brings the best out of leaders and brings the best out of you. So well done, church. Did you know that you carry this church carries the spirit of honour? It's a great thing. And lastly, I want to let you know that Ethan and Tanisha's final Sunday here with us today. Don't anyone sit in that row. That's the row Deb and Ian were there last time. You leave if you sit in that row. They're going to Brisbane. They feel the call to Brisbane, not just because they got into the grand final, I don't think. But they're going up, their family's up there, great jobs opened up, it's a new season. And we just really love you both. We want to honour you. And thank you for all you've sowed. Ethan, I just want to thank you for your over and above attitude. You've been so willing. You've served the Lord with gladness. You have made such a difference. You came at just the right time with lockdown. And we really, really love you and we're going to miss you. And even though the word for this year was go, I'm hoping that Mindy's got the word next year called and it's going to be come back. And everybody said, amen. Yes. All right, what do the stories of Peter and John going to the Gate Beautiful, healing the lame man, Jesus striking up a conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, and the good Samaritan stopping to look after the guy who was robbed have in common? What do they all have in common? They had a God encounter and a God conversation with someone while they were on their way somewhere. While they were busy doing something else. They had their day planned out. They didn't have much margin. They thought this is what's going to happen. They didn't have in their diary that 11:45 they were going to walk past a guy who was robbed and they'd have to stop and spend money. Peter and John didn't have in their phone. The alarm wasn't going to go off at 3 p.m. Now you've got to go and heal a lame man. But it didn't matter. They didn't have it in their diary or they weren't pre-warned because they were ready in season and out of season. Today's title is this, ready in season, ready in season, blah, blah, ready in season and out. Yes, I got it right up there, didn't get it right in my notes. Or in other words, Melbourne. I've written Melbourne because my sister lives in Melbourne and whenever I go down there she says, Roz, remember we have four seasons in one day. And I thought, why not take the mickey out of Melbourne? Mark and I are very different in lots of ways, but we're different in our preparedness. Mark is ready for all occasions. He even has timber in his car boot in case we need to light a fire. I am the opposite. I'm unprepared, and the story of our marriage has been, Mark, can I borrow your coat? Mark, can I borrow your hat? Mark, can I borrow your sun cream? So we have the just in cases, you take too much, and we have the wing it, people. But in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing some of his last instructions to his son in the faith, and this is what he says. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I charge you, like they're big words. I give you this charge, Timothy. Preach the word. Be ready just when you're in season. Just when you're in a good mood, just when you've had coffee, just when your kids have slept in. No, be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful. Careful instruction. The Living Bible says it like this. Whenever you get the chance, in season and out, whether it is convenient or not, the message says, so proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch, challenge, warn, and urge your people. Don't ever quit. I love this one. Keep it simple. The word translated ready comes from the Greek word to stand. It means standing by, always on duty, emotionally present, instant. In the original language, the word for in season and out of season means Melbourne. No, it doesn't. It means timely and untimely, convenient and inconvenient, opportune and inopportune. This is a challenge for Timothy, and it is a challenge for the 10 and the 5 p.m. Of course, it's not a challenge for the 8 a.m. It is a challenge for all of us, and we've all been there. I remember after a day's work teaching, you're stuffed. Let me tell you, after teaching 30 kids, I'm packing up, I'm tired. A work colleague comes and sits down on the chair in my room and says, Roz, how do you get to heaven? I thought, do you want to ask that now? Can't we go out for a coffee? I haven't got my Bible open. I'm not in the right headspace. I've never forgotten that. I remember playing tennis with friends and one of the guys asked me, answer honestly, Roz, do you think I'm going to hell? He asked me that in front of everyone else. I thought, we have a little Nicodemus moment at the end and you ask me in private. A few weeks ago, I was walking with a non-church friend. It was a beautiful Saturday. She asked me this as we're walking along, what does the church think of gay people? I'm thinking, isn't Saturday morning shallow morning? Like Sunday's spiritual morning. Do I have to think? Jesus says in Matthew 9, the harvest is not ready. He says the harvest is plentiful. I tell you, Macquarie, look up, lift your eyes and look to the fields, for they are ripe for harvest. Jesus said the harvest is ready, so we need to be. The harvest, which is the Holy Spirit moving in someone's life, isn't dictated to by your mood or whether you're in season or out of season. Or how much you know, or whether you've been to Bible college. A harvest doesn't wait till the farmer is ready. A harvest doesn't say, oh, the farmer had a fight with his wife. I'm not going to be ready tomorrow. Oh, the farmer's on holidays. I'm not going to be ready. The Holy Spirit moving in someone's life is like the wind. It doesn't consult with you or I and how we're feeling. I might be out of season, but the harvest is always in season. The harvest dictates the opportunity, so I need to be ready. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always, always, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with pride and arrogance. Gives us the attitude with gentleness and respect. So keep it simple with gentleness and respect. So tips for being ready this morning. I want to give you some tips. The first one is this, know the gospel. And that's why it was so good to hear from Rose. Can you share the gospel? If someone asks you some of those questions, how do I go to heaven? Or what does it mean for you being a Christian, Roz? And the questions come in all different phrases. Can you answer them succinctly? You think, Roz, well, that won't happen. I think it will happen. I was talking to a young nurse in our church last week and she shared this story with me. She said, Roz, a few weeks ago, I was at a night shift at hospital. It was 2 a.m. in the morning and one of the patients called me in. He'd been given a week to live. And he said this to her, he said, I had a dream and I feel that God is calling me. Do you know anything about God, about heaven? She said this, he had never been to church, but remembered a pamphlet he had seen as a child with a picture of heaven, and a man was sitting next to a lion. He said, "Is it true? How do I connect with God? What do I do with this?" So it's 2 a.m. She's tired. She's been interrupted. So she sits with him for 2 hours, she said. It was an out-of-season moment, but she said her heart was filled with compassion. She sat with him for 2 hours and shared words. She said the words tumbled out in simple language that he could understand, explaining how to pray and ask God into his heart. She said, "I have always felt inadequate." She said, "I've never been to Bible college." But that day, she said, "I know God used me and I had the goods." How good is that? So what is the gospel? The gospel literally means good news. There is no prescribed way to share it. You can't do it on automatic pilot. When you read the Gospels, did Jesus give any two people the same answer? Never. He never gave two people the same answer. It's got to be out of your heart. It's got to be sincere. But you need to have a concept of the Scripture and what you could say to people so you are ready when you're in season and out of season. It's got to be part of your kit. So I just want to share three examples to be aware of that you can have in your kit and you're able to communicate. The first one is the truth upfront approach. This is full of scripture. It talks about sin and the wages of sin. And you go, "Roz, this is too harsh." No, let me tell you, that's how I got saved. When I was 20 years old, I got the gospel. I got the scripture. It was clear. It was synced. I was completely convicted and I got saved. And the day after, Mark got saved. But this is what this one is up front, Romans 3:23, "For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." In other words, you say to people, none of us are perfect. None of us can measure up. The standard is perfection. God's standard is perfection. And in life, there are consequences to sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ." In other words, sin has a wage, and that sin and that wage is separation from God. And when we die, we are separated from God. But guess what? God loves us. He has an issue because he wants to be with us. He can't wink at sin, so what does he do? He sends his son, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So when Jesus was on the cross, he took all of our sin. All of our sin was laying on him. He stood between the gap between me and God. He bridged the gap. And not only that, but the Bible says also he gave us his righteousness. He gave us his perfection. So when we can stand before God, not because of anything we've done, but sons and daughters restored, forgiven, clothed in his righteousness, fully accepted. And then Jesus Christ died and he rose again. So we know that we also in Christ will rise and will conquer sin and we can live with him forever and ever. Amen. But you don't often get to say that in a great big mouthful, do you? People don't say, "Hey, I'm going to give you 2 minutes, give the gospel." So you've got to do it conversation mode. The second example is you can share your own testimony. I have done this many, many times. It comes beautifully and naturally. Before I received Christ, what was my life like? How I received Christ, and after I received Christ, these changes took place. You're just telling your story, and it's a beautiful story. And the last one I want to share is the post-Christian approach. We are living in a post-Christian world. So what does post-Christian world mean? Well, it means that we were Christian, all the Western nations were Christian, but now we're secular. We're not a post-secular, we were Christian, and now we're secular. So there's threads and echoes of Christianity, but we're a secular nation. How do you preach a message? How do you share the gospel and the love of God with people who've got echoes of Christianity but are now cynical and hostile toward the church, who don't have any sense of sin, who don't think that they need to be saved? They're good questions to ask. Timothy Keller, the late Timothy Keller, who had a thriving church in New York and was a studier of Western culture, says this, that Christianity, and you've got to be convinced of this, Christianity still has the answers to people's deepest, deepest needs. And the church must learn to communicate in such a way that deconstructs, put holes in the secular beliefs and helps them make that they need Christ because he is the answer. He says this, this is what Christianity provides, these truths, and it relates to the deepest needs of people. Christianity provides a meaning in life that suffering can't take away, and actually suffering makes the meaning of life even deeper, and all of us can say amen. It gives us a satisfaction that isn't based on circumstances. It gives us a freedom that doesn't reduce community and relationships to thin transactions. I love this one. It gives us an identity that isn't fragile and is based on my truth or what you say about me or my performance. It's a way to deal with both guilt and forgive others without residual bitterness or shame. And it's a way to face not only the future but death itself with poise and peace. They are the questions that roll over and over and over in people's minds. I edited Tim Keller's words to make my own post-Christian gospel in a minute. Hey, everyone wants to be free. It's the byword. But everyone lives for something, and whatever we live for rules us. When we create our own identity, it is fragile, because we are fragile. We are all looking for deep fulfillment, but it cannot be found in physical or temporary things because we are spiritual beings. I believe we were all created by a loving God. We were created to live for him. However, we've rejected that. And the Bible says we've all, like sheep, turned and gone our own way. But Jesus reversed the power dynamics of this world. He gave up power. He gave up the choice to exploit others, and he served. And when he died on the cross, he took the penalty for our rejection of God and the way we treat others. And he provides us with an identity unlike any other. We can receive it. We don't have to earn it. It's not based on the ups and downs of our performance. His love is unconditional. This identity creates and gives us freedom from being controlled by any force or any object. And it gives a taste of deep fulfillment and the beauty we're going to receive in the future with Christ. That's the first tip. The next tip is this: know how to build a bridge. 75% of people still find Christ through a friend. You're it. Instagram, social media, throwing out tracts, telling strangers you've got to get saved. Don't do much. You are the bridge. You're it. And so it was in the early church. It wasn't the professionals or the evangelists or the apostles that won people over. It was the people, the ordinary Christians mixing with their families and friends. And that was the bridge for me. My brother said, hey, Ros, do you want to come to a camp? And there were some handsome boys in our youth group. I said, Mark, do you want to come to the camp? And he said, yes, I do, Ros, because I don't want any of those guys to crack onto you. We both became Christians. It's the greatest weekend of my life. So you might say, Ros, well, I'm not a good connector. Too bad. You got to learn to connect. I don't like people. Too bad. Learn to connect. I'm an introvert. Too bad. Learn to connect. Learn to connect. You can do it. You can do it. I'm socially awkward. Learn to connect. Learn to be warm. Learn to be friendly. Learn to have margin. Because you never know what's coming in that day. Learn to be interested in people. Learn to ask questions. Next one, know your gift. What are you good at? A couple of weeks ago, Mindy talked about our spiritual gifts. And I hope none of you went, Your gift is supernatural. You think your gift is ordinary because you do it so well, but your gift is supernatural, and your beautiful gift God has given you, and he wants you to steward it. You're not going to answer for the things you're not good at, but you're going to answer for the things that you're good at. So steward your gift. Grow your gift. Become an expert in your gift. What is your gift? Know your gift and use your gift. It is a supernatural space for you to connect to others. You know, I'm not an apologist. I'm not going to go to people and try and convince them really and debate the issues of life. But I've got to tell you, I've got a great sense of humour. I can crack jokes with atheists. I can make them laugh. I can connect, and I'm a very good listener. You know, Kat prayed for the bucket. And we put names in, and I put a couple of names in, and a few weeks ago, one of the names in that bucket was going overseas, and they were anxious. So this is what I did, because I'm quite good at getting words of knowledge. So I texted them. I said, I'm praying for you, and this morning I prayed for you, and I asked God, what would he like to say to you? And this is what he said, and I texted it. I've done that quite a few times. People, non-Christians, completely get it. I did it to a waitress once. I wrote it out on paper. I said, I prayed for you, and this is what, I asked God what he wanted to say to you, and this is what he said, and she started to cry. Prophetic gift is incredible out there, and it's so encouraging. Last week, I went for a walk with a friend. She doesn't come to church. And we walked past this market and she started to try a felt hat on. And as she tried it on, the Holy Spirit said, buy it for her. And I thought to myself, but I haven't even got a felt hat that nice. But I've learnt to not let my left hand know what my right hand is doing. I said, try this one on. What colour do you like? Does it fit you? I said, I'm going to buy it for you. She said, no. I said, yeah, I am, because this isn't a gift from me. I said, this is actually a gift from God. I paid for it, and in that little outside market at Warner's Bay, the presence of God came, and she cried, and we hugged. And man, how good did I feel? And the last one is know your socks. I don't know whether this one's going to go down well, Jacques. You might have to clean it up after me. So get ready with something prophetic. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. I love socks. I think it might have been last year. I bought a pair of socks for a friend, Lisa, for Christmas, and I bought a pair for me too because I love socks. And on Boxing Day, she texted me with a photo of the socks. And at the bottom of the socks was a swear word. Something fantastic. The swear word had the same letter as fantastic. In the wrapping, I didn't see those words. And I said, praise God, I didn't send these socks to everybody. She laughed and thought it was hilarious. I opened my socks and guess what? My socks were the same. I'm going to throw them out. Mark said, no, they're good socks. Put permanent marker on it. So I did. Don't waste a pair of good socks. But last week, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, there you go, socks. They're your prophetic socks. He said this, and he brought this scripture, Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. He said, Roz, sons and daughters of God put their feet into these socks, and the swear words represent the dark places I want to take them to, or the uncomfortable places, or the inconvenient. Jesus left heaven, and where did he put his feet? In a filthy stable. And it was filthy. A filthy stable. His beautiful feet went into that filthy stable. And if Christ can put his beautiful feet on this broken earth, we can go into the dark places he calls us to. Romans 10:14 says, and how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Oh, he wants you to go and he wants me to go and put your socks on. Wherever you go, into the hospitals, into your workplaces, into your neighbours. And don't be shocked. Was Jesus shocked? You know, he could have been so shocked by my life. Because you didn't know me before I was a Christian. Was on the cross, he died for you and I. He loved you and I. He loves you. And so does he love the whole world. Close your eyes. That scripture says, lift up your eyes. Jesus said, lift up your eyes. The harvest is ripe. Look to the harvest. So I want to ask ask you this question where your eyes are closed, what do you look to? And this challenge is for me. Do you look to your inadequacy? Do you look to your fear? Do we look to our next event, our calendar, our, I don't know, our own sin, our own shame? Do we look at their sin? Jesus said, look past it. Look past it. Look past it. Most inopportune time Jesus Christ had was on the cross. You know, and the thief said to him, will you remember me when you come into paradise? You know, what would you and I say? Be ticked off. I'm dying. Don't ask me a question like that. Jesus looked over it all. So, Lord Jesus, as we have our eyes closed, I know one sermon can't change us all. And I'm in this as well. Convict us, God. Give us great boldness and confidence in our gifting. Give us opportunities. It doesn't happen in these four sides in this church. This is just the halftime talk. It all happens out there. The harvest is not in the church. It's out there. So put our socks on. Take us to the places where our gifts can minister, where we can, even if it's unfaltering words, share the love of Christ. There's so many Roses and Marks out there. And while every eye is closed, if you've never received Christ, I want to give you an opportunity. What a beautiful day to open up your heart. The Bible says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone opens the door, I will come in and dine with him. That's the knock of Christ, of the Holy Spirit's invitation to your heart. So if you'd like to invite Christ into your heart, while every eye is closed, I want you to put your hand straight up and I'm going to pray for you. Anyone this morning? Roz, that's me. Take a moment. Come to church. I'd love to pray for you. Thanks, church. Thanks, Shark and Kat.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this message. For more information, please visit macquarielifechurch.com.au.